We'd like to talk about various aspects of the mitzvah of Truma as we enter into Parshas Truma. And the Beis Halevi gives us a clue as to how to link Parshas Mishpatim with Parshas Truma. And that's a very important link. On the in his Pirush Al Torah on the Pasuk Daber al Bnei Yisrael v'yikhu li Truma, at the very beginning of the Parsha, the ace called Isha Sheyidveno Libo Tikhu es Trumasi, Hine Ba Parsha Zu Achre Parshas Mishpatim. Why does the Parsha of Truma follow immediately after Mishpatim? There's got to be some internal connection, some message that's inherent in the Smichas HaParshios. Says the Beis Halevi, the Betchila Kodim Sheyasa HaAdam Tzedaka B'Mamono. If Truma is the paradigm of charity, of giving of one's possessions, before he begins to embark upon that mitzvah of Truma, of Tzedaka, Tzarech Liros, he has to be very careful to make sure, beyond the shadow of a doubt, Shelo Yia B'Mamono Chashash Gezel. The laws of Mishpatim are going to teach us how to be very meticulous about our mama, not taking money from anyone else, the laws of the Shomrim or the Mazik and so forth. Be careful that your money is clean money. You didn't get it through any illegal method. It's not Gezel. Diem Lokein Einat Tzedakah Mo'eles Lo Klal. The Beis Halevi says that there's no meaning to the Tzedakah. One might say, well, I have stolen money in my possession. What can I do to rectify this situation? I want to do tshuva. Let me give half of it to charity. And there are people who think that way. The Beis Halevi invokes two proofs to sustain his conclusion that giving charity from stolen money is absolutely meaningless. Number one, Kamo lulav ha-gozel she-posel mishum mitzvah ba-ba-veira. If you steal a lulav and then you use it for a mitzvah, you're not yotze. The mitzvah is meaningless. And so too here, you take money from someone illegally. You abscond with his possessions and now you want to give them to tzedakah? You want to achieve a mitzvah? That's a mitzvah ba-ba-veira. It's meaningless. And secondly, he invokes a pasuk in Yeshayo HaNavi. Yeshayo says, "Vehusag achar mishpat." If he takes it outside the letter of the law, he achieves this money and this possession by circumventing and going behind the back of the law. Tzedaka meirachok ta'amod. Says the Beis Halevi, what does it mean? Tzedaka meirachok ta'amod. The achar shehusag hamishpat. After he violates the law, the ethical law of whose possessions belong to whom, then gamat stoka shows him omedes mirachok, it's far, far away. V'eino moil lehem klal, and it's absolutely meaningless. So when one gives of his money, he has to be sure, he has to be certain that his money is not in any way polluted, it's not taken from someone else. There were those, the Briskarov and others, who were very careful not to take money from unknown sources because maybe it was money that was earned through Chil Shabbos. But now we're not talking about Chil Shabbos. Now we're talking about a principle that according to Beis Halevi has to be universally applied. You cannot take money illegally and use it for tzedakah. And those who take such money have to know that that's not tzedakah at all. V'zeu shomer ha-kosuv. And that's what the pasuk says in Yeshayo HaNavi. This is a very famous pasuk we read in the Haftorah. Omru mishpat, asu mishpat vasu tzedakah ki krova yishuasi lova. Why does the Navi open up with shimru mishpat and then the asu tzedakah? The v'shimru mishpat sets the condition, the prerequisite for asu tzedakah. You want to give tzedakah and you expect that the power of your mitzvah, of your chesed, your love and kindness and goodness is going to bring about the ultimate salvation, Yeshua Krova Lovo. You have to know that first and foremost comes Shimru Mishpat. Omar Lem Tchila Mishpatim, that's why the Torah gave first the Parsha Mishpatim and only then the Achkach Tzivam Al Nidvas HaMishkan. So we're beginning to get an insight, a picture of how we should give money. Our money must be absolutely legal. That's the Yesod of the Beis Halevi. And we're going to see echoes of this throughout. I want to study with you a number of the Mefarshim. We'd like to take a look now at the famous Drash Moshe Sefer of Drush on the Parshias here at the beginning of Mishpatim for Moshe Feinstein. He quotes Rashi, V'ela mishpatim, the vav, the extra vav at the beginning of the parsha, Mosif al harishonos. So we're going back to last week's parsha for a moment, and Rashi says, Ma harishonim misinai, af elu misinai. The vav connects the mishpatim back to the Aseres Hadibros. And I think we'll find in Rav Moshe's interpretation of this Rashi something that really echoes what the Beis HaLevi is saying about how to give tzedakah. L'chora tamua. Rav Moshe asks the following question. I don't understand. The entire Torah was given as one body, as one corpus at Sinai. And that we know from the famous Chazal on the Pasuk at the end of Hayikra, referring to the mitzvah of Shemitah. The Torah says by Har Sinai, with regard to Shemitah, and this teaches us that all the mitzvahs were given at Har Sinai. So presumably Moshe received the entire Torah at Har Sinai. Then why does Rashi have to go out of his way in the name of Chazal to tell us that the Mishpatim were given at Har Sinai? What's the extra emphasis? So to answer this question, Moshe refers to the Ramban at the end of Parshas Mishpatim. The Ramban is the one, and we've discussed this at great length in the past, who emphasizes that we maintain the sequence of the psukim as a chronological order, muktam, yesh muktam ucha b'torah, everything goes kiseder. Moshe receives the Aseres HaDibros, and afterwards Parshas Mishpatim, which he gives to them, following the Aseres HaDibros, the entire parsha is given to them, and then he goes up for 40 days and 40 nights, to receive the Luchos HaBris. Says the Drash Moshe, that's why there's a smichus here between the Aseres HaDibros and the Dinim of Mishpatim, the Dinim Mominus, which the Torah presents here in Parshas Mishpatim. Why? Kisha HaAdam Einam Shomram. If a man doesn't observe meticulously the laws of the Mishpatim, if he's not careful about Yenam's money, it's almost like he denies God. Anochi Hashem Elokecha is the opening line of the Aseres HaDibros. God reveals himself as the one true God. And now the Mishpatim you violate? Understand that they're inextricably woven together. It's one body. You can't take this without that. What is the Kfira element? If a person is aggressive about taking money that's not his, that's not rightfully his. Says Rav Moshe, Shechoshev Kochi V'yotzim Yodi. He calculates that whatever monies accrue to him, that's all a result of his actions. If he is aggressive, if he takes more money, he'll get more money. However, Im Hayamam in Bashem, had he believed in God, Shehu, that God, with a capital H, he is the Nosein Lechem L'chol Basar. God is the one who gives out bread to everyone. Every human creature, every human being and every creature. Umazonosov, Uparnasoso, Vischisronosov, Ktsuvimlo Mi Rosh Hashanah. All the money, all his income, all his parnasa, whatever he will have and whatever he won't, is all written in the ledger on Rosh Hashanah, the day of judgment at the beginning of the year. Everything is predestined. Everything is determined by divine providence. He would know that if he would accept and embrace belief in God in the full sense, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, then lo haya over b'shum din hashayach l'mamon. He would certainly not violate any of the dini mamonis. He would not make an attempt to take that which is not his. Dechol tavas ha-mamon sheyesh la'odim. The Gemara says that a man has a tremendous desire to take money. As the Gemara says in Chagiga, Gezel Varayos Nafsho Shel Odom Mechamdosam. And we've spoken in the past about the fact that there are big four. You know, there's the Arba, Avos, and the Zikin. Each one, three out of four, represent the big three cardinal sins, Gidei Raish, Bichosdom, Avodah Zarah. But the fourth represents a very severe Haver, and that's Gezel. Because Nafsho Shel Odom Mechamdosam, there's a Chemdes Halev. A man wants to take as much money, accrue, and gather together as much possessions as he possibly can. And sometimes he puts his hand into someone else's pocket. He doesn't have rights to take it. Of course, it's not so obvious and not so coarse. Sometimes it's more subtle, but he takes money that's not coming to him. And that's because of the chemda that a person has for Gezel. And what's the source for that chemda? Where does it emanate from? Who mitzad? It's because he doesn't have the emunah, he doesn't have the belief and the reliance on God that he should. Misha mamin b'Hashem, in contrast to he who believes in God, yodea, he understands. Shalo yelo yosem mikfi mashiyutz Hashem misbarach liyosem. So he'll give whatever he gets is what God wants him to get. He doesn't have the ability to take more. And if he takes more than what he's going to get, he's lose from somewhere else. Afim rotzo likach b'isa, even though he wants to take that which is not legally his, he's going to lose from elsewhere. The amount, the pot is just so, you know, it has bookends to it. It's defined, beginning, middle, and end, and that's what he's going to get from Hashem. Umemela lo yelo shum taival is, a person can't have a desire for something that he knows he can't have, like the mashal of the Ben Kfar, who doesn't have desire to marry the princess. He knows he's not in that league. Adarava. Yotzi ma'osav al kol ma'ashe shemotzi schora la'arviach mizeh. What he should do is spend his money, invest it on what he thinks might expand his financial base. La'arviach, in order to make profits. Shelo nechshav li odom shum hotzah bazeh. And let him not think that what he's spending in order to make a parnasa is wasted money. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to invest his money and try to make a parnasa, and that's the way Hashem, through Derech HaTeva, will bestow upon him whatever monies he should be getting for the year. And not only that, if Hashem tells him to spend money, not just to invest for the sake of parnasa, but to give tzedakah, let him understand very well that the tzedakah that he gives is not going to create any sort of deficit in his assets, in his bank account. There's no hefsed here. It's kulei revach. Just like in the mashal of Rabbi Moshe, when a person spends a great deal of money on building a palace for himself, he builds a great piece of real estate, builds it up, and he loves it. You know, he's so excited about every brick and every facade that goes up, every story that's built. So too in the nimshal, he should be absolutely thrilled. When he spends his money for tzedakah or for any other dvar mitzvah, for kol shekein, how it's more so, it goes without saying, there's no point in taking money that's be'isur and violating the avera, money that's not legally coming to him. And once his emunah is deep and profound, if it's part of his essence, lo yelo mizeh shum nisayon, he's not even tempted to want to take someone else's money. He realizes he's not going to gain anything by it. Hamisbonein yovin, and he finishes up by saying that he who thinks deeply will understand. Shekshalo yachzik kein yeh mikatne emunah, that unfortunately, if he won't live his life in that way, relying as it were on Hashem, he will be called katne emunah. And therefore, immediately following Matan Torah, immediately after the Aseres HaDibros, comes the Dinei Mishpatim to teach us, don't steal, don't take money illegally, rely on Hashem, understand that God will take care of you, all the Parnasa is set from Rosh Hashanah, take your money and do with it, spend it as Hashem wants you to, you'll get no loss or deficit from it, give the tzedakah that you have to give, but from money that's naki, mama naki, shaloi de isa, shaloi de gezel. And I want to fast forward now to the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, because Rashi sees symbolically a reference to gezel, illegally, and money that was misappropriated, in the parsha of Olas Behema, a whole different context. Vehesir es muraso benotzosa vehishlicho soitzal mizbeach. Says Rashi, be olas behema sheino cheles. There are animals that are consecrated and designated for an ola. These animals are larger animals that are fed by their master, by their owner. Eno cheles el ba'avus.
Baaleha, the Bailim, put them in a certain pen that they're controlled, and there they eat. They don't eat from anything that's stolen because all their food is provided for them by their master, by their owner. Nehemiah, regarding such a behemoth, it says, Vakerev Vakarayim Yirchatz Bamayim Vehikdir. The Torah says at the beginning of Vayikra and Pasuk Tes that the innards of such an animal are burnt on the Mizbeach. They're given to Hashem. Uba Of, but with regard to Of, that's the case that we're studying here in Vayikra Pasuk Tezayim, all in Perek Aleph. Of is different. The Torah is saying Vehishlich Osa, that the innards of the animal, of the bird, are not to be burnt on the Mizbeach. Says Rashi, why? Based on the Medrash Rabbah in Vayikra, the Of shen nizor min hagezel, the Of is not fed by its master, and therefore the Of just travels around looking for food and takes often that which is not its, doesn't belong to it. That's called gezel. Is therefore the hishlich hasameiayim sha'ochal min hagezel. Imagine, the food that's gezel is not acceptable on the Mizbeach. You might think, well, the bird is not in any way guilty here. I mean, this is the way the bird sustains itself. And not only that, the meayim is not the same as the food that it consumed, even if you call it gezel, if you will, but it's not, But the answer is that the meayim is where this stolen food, so to speak, is being stored and converted into various parts of the anatomy of the organs of the body of the bird, and those parts that contain the food and churn up that food are despicable as far as the Mizbeach is concerned, because that's where the food that is stolen is brought, that's where it's stored, that's where it's converted into nutrients for the sake of the animal, of the bird. What does it mean that a bird steals? Again, all these Misholim and Chazal are meant to convey to us a message. That which is not acceptable on the Mizbeach is telling us about what's not acceptable in our lives as an act of service. We want to serve Hashem, Dumi de Mizbeach. We want to bring our Karbonos to Hashem. We want to give Tzedakah, for example. Understand that if it's coming in some indirect way through Gezel, like the innards of the bird in this case, the Me'ayim, is somehow indirectly related or connected to Gezel, then it's rejected. That's not avodah. There's a metzius here. It's not a question of punishment. Gezel is a metzius. Like the Beis Halevi said before, if you steal a lulav, that lulav is pasul. Yeah, it changes the very essence of the lulav. And the same thing is the money that accrues to you in illegal ways. That money is a different metzius. It doesn't have any place on the Mizbeach, or for that matter, as a conduit for the mitzvah of tzedakah. Tzedakah is a great mitzvah, and the Rambam has dedicated an entire chapter to describe in very dramatic terms the greatness of tzedakah at the end of Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, and he speaks about the Kisei Yisrael. But we have to understand that the tzedakah that we give has to be pure, otherwise it's like the innards of the Of that's rejected by the Mizbeach. And now, we want to look at a different parasha. Now we're going to go backwards instead of forwards. But again, this idea of how unacceptable Gezel is reflected in the parasha back in Vayishlach. Perek Lamed Hei Pasuk Aleph, Kum Alei Beisel V'Shev Sham V'Yaseh Sham Mizbeach. Yaakov is commanded after the Mice of Shechem to go up to Beisel, to settle there and construct a Mizbeach. So the Mefarshim say we don't find by the other Avos that they are commanded to create a Mizbeach. Let's take a look at Rav Meir Simcha in his classic work, Meshech Chochma. He says, Lo matzanu b'shum odom shi'itzaveu Hashem Yisparach lasos Mizbeach levad Yaakov v'pam azos. What's unique about this particular moment in the history of this particular Av of the three Avos that we have, that Hashem has to command him to make him his Mizbeach? Vanireh, The Mesh Chacham was always very creative, comes up with a curveball. Mishum di Amru, he quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu Novi, Sone Gezel Biavla, Vavesem Lashem Es HaGozel HaYirotzcha, is there Ritzui? If you bring Gezel onto the Mizbeach, V'Yakov Choshash, Hashem had to really communicate to Yaakov that a Mizbeach would be acceptable. Yaakov thought that now, at this moment, this juncture, it would be impossible to set up a Mizbeach and bring a carbon on the altar. Shema Yesh B'Yodo Gezel Mishlal Shechem. Because if you remember that after the slaughter in Shechem, at the hands of Shimon Levi, the people took booty, and it wasn't rightfully theirs. And therefore Yaakov looked at this shalal, this booty that was taken, as the possessions that belonged to someone else. And Chas v'Shalom, to take these possessions and even dream of using them as a mizbeach, ve'ivesem l'Hashem es ha'gozul? God says you're going to bring stolen stuff on the mizbeach? Ha'iratzecha? Is that going to be ritzui? Is no ritzui karma with gezel? Lachain says Rav Meir Simcha, Hodio HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shelo Yosim Libo She'ein Behem Chashash Gezel Klu. He doesn't expound as to why there's no Chashash Gezel. In the Kabashmul and in the Maskona, Yaakov is commanded to build a Mizbeach, and there's no Chashash that he's bringing Gezel. Ein Behem Chashash Gezel. If there would be a Chashash Gezel, then Hashem would not have commanded him to use that Gezel on the Mizbeach. But there's no Chashash Gezel. Perhaps because they made a kinyan, perhaps because the Anshei Shechem no longer had the possession, they were gone. Perhaps because there was designated stuff that was not taken from Shechem, and we knew clearly what was not taken could be used for the altar. But be that as it may, the whole Havamin here, that Yaakov thought, unlike his fathers before him, that it's not the right time to build a Mizbeach because of the pasuk Vayvesem Es HaGozel. Now, at this point, I want to turn your attention to the question of how challenging it is to be pure and clean in this area of Dini Mominus. We spoke about the Gemara in Chagiga, that Gezel Nafshu Shalodim Mechamdosam. And here in these parshias about the Mishkan, we find Ramazim, we find allusions to this concept of the difficulty and the challenges we face in being absolutely pure and honest in our business dealings. The Torah says in Perek Chaf Hei of Shmos, V'asisa menoras zahav tahar. The menorah, the great beautiful candelabra in the bayis, had to be made, in this case in the Mishkan, from pure silver, pure gold, zahav tahar. And not only that, the Torah says, miksha achas zahav tahar. It's got to be one indivisible block of gold. It's not that we add together different golds and pieces of gold and we subject them to a heating process and melting them and then form together. It's got to be mikshachas. Remez, says the Rish Peyesh. There's a beautiful remez in this pasuk of mikshachas. Miksha, in addition to being one whole indivisible piece, also comes from the root of koshi, of kasheh. Rashi indicates this when he says it's got to be hammered out. It's very hard, very tough. Davar kasha v'nadir, he says it's very difficult and very rare that we come across a miksha zahav tar. Perhaps echad yeshno ba'olam, maybe there's one person on the face of the earth that has achieved what we would call, again in the symbolism of the Rish Peyesh, a menoras zahav tar that comes from mikshach zahav tar. Sheel adam zahav tar. Zahav symbolically represents the money of a person. Gold is a precious metal. Mos tahoros migezel. Mos monies, cash that are absolutely pure without any taint of stealing. Ramos viona, any cheating or any ona where we mislead someone. It's so easy to cross those subtle bounds of ona. You know, you want to sell something to someone so he'll pay you a good price and you beef it up, you decorate it, you present it in a way that it's not. You want to sell a used car, and you know that you've had so much problems with the car, so you tell them it's a great car. It was never in an accident. Yeah, it was never in a major accident, but it's been falling apart on you, breaking down every mutig and darnish thing. That's onah. You mislead him. So you get the money. He pays you thousands of dollars. But Moshe Stakir B'Yosher, to claim that every single last penny that I have earned, that has come into my bank account, all my assets are pure, B'Yosher, straight, honest, L'lo Rava V'Dofi, without any element, any admixture of misleading someone and cheating someone. Osam HaYechidim Shezachu V'Gyu L'Kach, those far and few people who have merited to reach that level. Harehem mazhirim biolam hazeh ubaolam haba kimenorah tahora. Their share in the world to come can be compared to this menorah tahora, this pure candelabra, which will be used in the heichal to light up and bring the Shekhinah down and demonstrate the Shekhinah. It's a menorah tahora, it's absolutely pure, until again it was vilified by our enemies at the time of the Churban and the Gemara and Gittin and elsewhere. But what's a menorah tahora, a pure menorah? Ah, the pure menorah is a symbol of an individual who in his life, in his personality, personifies miksha achazov tar. With great koshi, the miksha, he has achieved zahav tar, his zahav, the gold in his bank account, is pure, is tahor, no gezel, no ramos, and no onah. The Ramchal in his Mesil Sisharim in the 11th Perek dramatizes the power of the Eitzahara to allure us in this area of Mishpatim of Mama. Chemdas HaMamon, he says, Michshalos of Rabim. There are many ways in which the Eitzahara knows how to trip us up in these areas. Ukideshie Odom Naki Miem. How does a person achieve Nikius in these areas? To say that he's absolutely pure and clean? Oh, don't think it's easy. It's not with the snap of a finger, but says the Ramchal, Tzarech lo iyun gadol v'dikduk rav. He's got to put a lot of thought into it. Everything has to be deliberate and well prepared. Dikduk rav, I think he means it has to be calculated to the very last fraction of a cent. V'im nikom imenu. If he was able to achieve this level of nikius, yeda, he should know she gia kvar lemaila gdol matrega gdol. He has achieved an unusually high, lofty level. He's ascended the mountain of God. It's sort of similar to what we saw before about the menorah tahora. This is not easy. This is an unbelievable task. Ki rabim yis chazdu banofim rabim anfei chassidus. The Mesilas Yesharim has presented chassidus to us, where one could be pious and very careful, and there are many branches to chassidus, but many individuals are able to succeed in these various branches to achieve chassidus and piety. They go beyond the letter of the law, they do mitzvahs behidur, take upon themselves chumra after chumra, but be'inyan sinas habetza lo yuchu lagiel machos ha'shlims, but they cannot achieve perfection when it comes to honesty, to sinas habetza. Here's where we all face such difficulties and such great challenges. It's enormous to try to overcome them. It's an amazing, amazing challenge. I want to study with you an old sefer from centuries and centuries ago called the Kav HaYoshar. And he says that we have a certain naivete, relying, as it were, on the sense of honesty that's intuitive, that's almost innate in man, but it's naive on our part. He says, let's learn, Shelo Yismach Adam Kamash Yir Bi'enav Shu Holich Tamim. It looks on the surface that this person is Holich Tamim. Sometimes we judge ourselves as being Holchei Tamimim. But Lo Yismach Adam Al Zeh, don't be sure about it. Ki ein ha'odam yodea mashu beliba. A person sometimes is not aware of what's deep down in Yenom's heart or even in his own heart. Our feelings and our passions and our drives are so deep down below us that sometimes we're not aware of. The layers that separate us from that deeper passion that we have. Aklala zenekot biyadecha. Misha eino rotze lihanos b'momen shel chavero. If a person doesn't want to benefit from the possessions of his friend, and how much more so he doesn't want to take money illegally, steal it, and all his dealings, all his business transactions are done with faith and honesty, you should know that such a person, who ish tzadik v'yosher v'vadai, such a person is righteous, he's upright, because he has this deeper goodness, this will within him to reach the level of maso matonu be'emuna. He's the straight guy. But watch and be careful, because not everyone fits that description. Avuk sha'odom roes chavero noshek ha'tfilin mispal. He sees someone, he goes around kissing tefillin, and he throws up his arms in the hand in the air when he davens. But yet, eino osik b'maso matin b'emuna. He's a split personality. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. When it comes to ben olam l'makom, you know, tefillin and tefillah and davening, he's a super pious. But yet, when it comes to business dealings, he's not true. He's not honest. He's not reliable. And says the Kava Yosher, in such a case, tzorch l'harchik mimenu b'chol min harchok. Stay away from such a person. Don't think that you'll be impacted by his piety, by his fear of God. Ki ikar hayira. Where's the litmus test? When do we say he really reaches the bar of yira, of true, genuine yira, vatzidkus and piety and righteousness? Who b'momen, the test case, the area in which we can test them and see, the litmus test is mamon. Kol adam shu omid b'tzidkaso al ha-mamon. If his tzidkus goes beyond the base medrash, beyond the base haknesses, and it penetrates into his office, into the workforce, into the market, his righteousness extends to incorporate all his monetary dealings. Oh, zehu tzadik gomer. That's where you test him, and you can know that he's reliable. He's a true tzaddik. All of Nemar, Yigia Kapecha Kisochal. What does it mean? Yigia Kapecha Kisochal means when you do it for Yosher, when you're honest about it, you work hard and you toil and you reap the fruits of your labor, is Ashrecha V'Tovloch, Ashrecha B'Olam Hazeh, Tovloch B'Olam Haba. Such an individual is worthy of all the good things. He merited all goodness to be bestowed upon him in this world and in the next world. That's the true tzidkus. So we think that we judge people in the tzidkus, how frum they are, what level of piety have they achieved, have they climbed the ladder, and we look up at them and we're so impressed and elevated, but yet, that's not the true definition of a tzaddik. Let's see how they succeed in the challenges of mammon. Are they to be described as maso matonu be'emuna? They're yosher, they're straight, it's yigia kapecha kitochal. Such a person who's omed b'tzidkaso al mamono, he is the true tzaddik. And don't judge the other ones until you know that they can pass that test. Amongst the Chassidish Rebbes, there's the Bnei Yisachar, who's very, very famous. And one of my close chaverim is a descendant on his mother's side of the Bnei Yisachar. He writes, Al mashu min atema shanachdu roim kampomim hayelodim bekatnusim holkun lebeis rabam masmidim belimin toros mispalim bekavona onim ashrei and yeishmei rabba v'omein miyashim archosom. We see children, and in their boyhood, they go to the shuls and the schools, their masmidim, they're dedicated to their Torah, they daven with great intention, they yell out, Amen Yehishmei Rabba. Everything seems to be perfect on the outside. The acharkach, shmiz gadlim, what happens when they get older? Mishafchim chas v'shalom b'midos gruos, u'mevatlin v'torah v'tfilo. We see that these same youth, the same young boys, they go older, And all of a sudden, something transforms them. They become personifications of bad attributes. They're no longer honest. They're no longer dedicated to the study of Torah, to davening. What causes this? What brings this about? Hare HaTorah Shalomdu B'Katnusam, Hu Hevel Shein Bo Chet. We call the heir of the Torah and the speech of the Tashbar, the children, it's Hevel Shein Bo Chet. Ha'imen HaRoi SheTamod L'Mishan. It should really be a source of strength. Lahem, for them, V'Yosifu Omitz B'Nafshosam, it will give them spiritual power to sustain and face all the challenges. Ki mitzvah goreres mitzvah. And the answer is avosam hechiluosam mamon gezel. Interesting. He points his finger specifically at the aver of gezel. I could have thought of so many different possibilities of where this child went off the derech and what brings, you know, what passions are derailing him. But yet he points his finger and I say singular one thing. It's gezel. Shesiglu aydei masu man she'ena b'emuna. There were possessions and monies that were accrued in illegal ways, without honesty. B'nispatnu b'imurehem, and they were fed and fattened by the monies that were taken illegally. V'shov lehem lebasar mibsara, and the gezel itself now becomes part of their flesh. It's very similar to what we saw in Rashi at the beginning of Vayikra about the innards of the bird that cannot be brought as Haktar al Gabi Mizbeach. Here too, the innards of this child, because they were fed by food that was possessed and monies that came to buy the food that were possessed illegally, and that food, which is food of Gezel, became part of their bosa, part of their flesh, part of their biological structure. Al Yedei Zeh, what does this cause, this food? Nolodim, Taivos, Umidos Gruos, such terrible passions and evil desires and inclinations. And all this can be attributed to that concept that we saw in Rashi about the innards of the oaf, that since the bird enjoys the benefit of Gezel, those innards cannot be brought on the Mizbeach. And even though the oaf, as we said before, was not commanded on Gezel, the oaf is just living its natural life. But nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates Gezel. And Gezel has a terrible impact. It's polluted, it's contaminated, and it's going to have a destructive effect on the entire body. You know, you think you stole something, okay, fine. Got some money illegally, but you're feeding your children. You went out and bought stuff for your family. No. Now, we saw already in Rav Moshe Feinstein that the Avera in its fundamental root is one of Kfira. But now we're seeing how to what extent that Avera has an impact on the very object that was obtained through Gezel, and the chain reaction, the Chadgadya, how it becomes part of the system, part of the body, and has a terrible spiritually destructive impact on the soul of a person, on Taivos, on Midos Gruos, all because of Gezel. That's where the Bnei Yisoschar puts his emphasis. That's what he singles out as the cause for these terrible problems when children grow up and they go off the path. And the Chafetz Chaim, he's written many, many Sfarim, but in Sefer Shem Olam, he too focuses on the idea of kosher money. Ki Mamon Kashri says, Sheyovel Yodom Humi Otzer Malko Shalom. Where is he getting the kosher money from? When he makes a living, a profit, when he has assets coming in, he should know it's coming from the treasury of Malko Shalom, of the King of the Universe. Shehu Hizmin Lozeh. As we saw earlier in the Drash Moshe, it's God who designates these monies for you, and they're coming straight from His Otzer. Lakachu Shomo Min Amazikin. That's why these kosher monies are protected, so to speak, from the evil forces of a mazikin, vapis omius, or sudden happenings. Shlo yelchul timayon, money that is given to you and granted to you by God. possessions that are bestowed to you by the Almighty, they will be protected. They won't be lost in a second. I think he's hinting that if you see your money just going in and going out, maybe you never deserved it to begin with. When a person gives a gift to his son, the father will make sure that the gift that he gave, he bestowed upon his son, will not be ruined, it will be preserved, it will be protected. So to Hashem, as our compassionate father, giving us all the gifts that he gives us, we'll be careful that those gifts are not destroyed. That's not the case with regard to monies that were taken, that were confiscated illegally through Gezel and Chamas. The difference between Gezel and Chamas is that Gezel is when you outright steal. Chamas is when you force someone into a sale. He doesn't really want to sell it to you, but you pressure him. Or you take something and then you pay him money, but he never wanted to sell it. All this is not coming from the treasury of the Malko Shel Olam. This is Chatifa. This is when you grab it. The initiative here is not God's in giving you this. It's your initiative to put your hand into someone else's pocket. L'chein chal min ha-shamayim ha-chakach al zeh kol ha-mikrim v'atzoros. He says, because this money that came into your possession illegally is not protected, is not given by God, it's not protected. And if it's not protected, exposed to all the elements, then afterwards, who knows what will happen and what terrible tzaras will be mechala this moment, will destroy this moment from you. That's the idea of Mamon Shel Gezel. It's not coming from his hand, capital H. It's not kosher Mamon. It's not coming from the old tzaras Shel Malkolom. It doesn't have that preservative built into it. And it's very vulnerable. It can be lost in a jiff. And not only that, sometimes when these tzaras happen, the Chofetz Chaim, and they destroy your mammon, even mammon akasha, which he has accrued, even monies that he didn't steal, but he got through in an honest way, even those get lost, because they're all together in the same place. So when the waters come and wash away his possessions, they wash away even mammon kasha. He gives the mashal of damim ra'im shenishavu begufa adam. If you have bad blood in your body, you know, toxic blood, then it's going to have an impact even on the good, healthy blood. And so too, the mammon that you've achieved through Gezel will have a terrible impact on even the money that's kosher. And if you open up in Shulchan Aruch in Choshim Mishpat Siman Shin Mem Ches, look at the Baragola, he writes, Ani Kosev Zos Ladoros, Shereisi Rabim Godlu Veheshiru Mitoyos Shehitu Aku. Very often the Jew has the attitude, Tolos Akum is Mutter. You know, I'll cheat the guy. He makes a mistake. He gives me his money. I never really stole the money from the non-Jew. He inadvertently let me have the money thinking that it was coming to me, but I tricked him. He says such people who became rich from these Tolos Akum is Yerdu Nechseihem L'Timon. Ultimately, I'm telling you, he says, the Baragola, their monies will go down the tubes, down the drains. Let him not think, well, after I die, I'll leave it to my children. No. They will never be a blessing for the children. Lumatzo, but in contrast, Rabbim HaKeshar Kidshu Hashem, there are those who were in that very sensitive situation where monies came to them from Akum, from Goyim, that were given to them by mistake, and they went ahead and returned that money. Hechziru Moyos HaAkum. Wow, that's an unbelievable level. That's a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. Godlu Veishiru. I've seen that such people are lifted up. They're upgraded. And they get wealthy. Hitzlichu Veinichu Yisram Loleim. They were so successful that they left a bundle as a will for their children. Dafka, because they returned money. You would think the opposite. You know, if they're returning money, then there's less money in the bank account. No. There'll be plenty of money in the bank account. That's what the Baragola promises us. We have to understand the emphasis here is on how to use and how to gain money in a proper way so that we can enjoy that money. It won't be washed away, as the Chofetz Chaim says, and destroyed with other monies that are kosher.
And if we have kosher money and we return things that don't belong to us legally and rightfully, and we return even a tos akum, it's a gewaldige skula for atzlocha. There's a very strange paragraph that I wanted to call to your attention in the Sefer Chassidim. There are always interesting pieces in the Sefer Chassidim. He speaks about someone who grabs on Rosh Hashanah, he grabs, I guess, someone else's machzor, or at least someone else's handwritten tefillos, and he uses them to pray. So he tells the story about one Zaken who says, Botzea Berech Niyetz Hashem. That's the Pasuk in Tillim that we always use to speak about Mitzvah Bo Ba'Avera. He says, if you want to rectify what you did, go over to the person, ask him for a shus, to borrow his tefillos, and then daven a second time. Imagine, the tefill itself becomes a cheftz of gezel because he stole the machzor. That's why I think I read it carefully, correctly, if I'm correct. And finally, I wanted to end our discussion. Again, I had a lot more to talk to you about, but we're running out of time, with a Medrash Rabbah in Shmos, Perek Chav Dalet, Chav Beis, excuse me. Eov, in Perek Yud Zayin, says, Alo chamas bekapi utfilosi zaka. He says, if there's no chamas, if there's no embezzlement in my hands, then my tefillah, my prayer, is pure. Amar Rav Yeshua Kohen Bar Nechemia. What do we learn from this? V'chiyesh tefila achura? Is there such a thing as a tefila that's not zaka? It's not pure. It's impure. It's got an admixture of different impurities in it. Ela kol mi sheyodav meluchlochos begezel who kari la kodesh baruch veina uno. So my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, in his work, The Lonely Man of Faith, has an entire footnote on this topic about the connection between being good and ethical and moral, upholding the laws of Gezel, and tefillah and prayer. It's all one package deal. The two parts of the Aseres HaDibros. And the Medrash, in the name of Rabbi Yeshua Cohen, is very outspoken, very explicit about the fact that someone who has Gezel in his hands, we learn from this pasuk in Eov that he's korev l'Kadosh Baruch Hu ve'eino onos. Says tefillah is achura. It's like a tefillah shebo ba'avera. And in Noach we says that Hashem says to Noach, Keitz kol basar bo lefanai, and lo nichtam gzardinam el alachomas al gezel, and therefore Keitz kol basar, meaning they can't pray, the gates are closed, are locked. Eov shalohoya ba'molo gezel. Eov was proud of the fact that with all the possessions that accrued to him, there was no gezel, there was nothing illegal. Haisa tefilosa zaka. He was able to claim that his prayers were pure. And that's what he means when he says, Allo chamas bekapi utfilosi zaka. Ufisha ein ovel bekapi bekapai uvamali. Is therefore tefilosi zaka, my prayers are pure. So we see that cleanliness in the area of mammon is the key to being able to impact on our children so that they get the right upbringing, the food that they eat is kosher, and we can serve Hashem with that mammon. We see that the source of nikayon, of the absence of gezel, is emuna. We see how much it impacts on atfilah. We see that staka, as the Beis HaLevi said at the beginning of tonight's shia, is meaningless if it's through gezel. That's the connection between the parasha of Mishpatim and the parasha of Truma. And finally, this medrash that says that the key to success in tefillah is dependent upon nikayon kapayim. Om Rav Chama Bar Chanina Minayin Shekol Mi Shegozal Shegezel Biyodu Shetfilos Achura Shenemar Uvifroschem Kapechem Eineni Shomea Mipnei Ma Sheyedchem Domim Olehu. When your hands are dirtied, are soiled, you're involved in corruption in Beit Olam L'Chavero, then know that God rejects your tefilos. You can stretch out your arms to Hashem, but it's not going to be heard. Neki kapayim ubar levav. And then the pasuk says, Yisa brochmeis Hashem, zedor dorshav. Only a neki kapayim,
someone, his heart is pure. He doesn't want anything from anyone else. He dedicates himself totally to the concept of Nikayan Kapayim, Niki Kapayim. Such a person is Ola, he goes up to Har Hashem. He's considered Yisa Bracha Meis Hashem. He's the one that God will bestow upon himself Bracha. As we saw before in the Be'er HaGolan Choshe Mishpat, he, in a sense, promises us, and he says he's seen this, that those who are careful, even to avoid Tos Akum, is Gadol Hashem Veshiro, God is Matzliach that he bestows upon them. This, according to the Chafetz Chaim, is the kosher mama that's coming straight from the Otzer Malko Shel Olam that God divvies out and designates us. We should have the right hashkafa, and if we have the right attitude, if we realize how central this concept is, how important it is, if we strengthen our emuna in the fact that what we have and what we will have is given to us by Hashem, it's coming directly from His great hand, from Otzro Malko Shel Olam, then we can have an impact on our lives. We can be, you know, litmus tests will determine that we are true tzaddikim, genuine tzaddikim. It'll have an impact on our children, on all those we come in contact. It'll be a great Kiddush Hashem. This is the message inherent in the concept of Truma, in the contribution, the great contribution that Jewish people gave that brought about the building of the Mishkan, the ultimate goal of which is v'yasu li migdash v'shachanti v'socham ken yiratzon. Amen.